future, whatever. Fuck the future. That's gonna be this episode's called Fuck the Future.
Fuck the future.
Yo, conceived as one, split into two. Gonna talk so much shit till the air goes blue. After, we're through. You're gonna wish you were monozygotic too. Just a couple of NIM pods up to no good. A couple of NIM pods up to no good. See what we're doing there? It's Nimrods. But it's a podcast with NIM pods.
NIM pods.
Welcome to Twins in Cars Getting Coffee.
Are we getting coffee?
No, you've already got coffee.
No, I don't have
coffee.
I don't have coffee.
Oh, I have a coffee.
That's a dead soldier right there. Dead soldier coffee. I think it actually did pretty well.
Well, okay, so...
What NIM pods was it?
Our last
30
one.
30 or... No, I'm just... What number was it?
Our last one.
30? 31?
Is this not going to just roll around?
Yeah, it's kind of solid there.
So, okay, so there's this big controversy with Tim Hortons.
Oh, is there a big controversy?
So this is a new lid.
Oh, yeah.
Not biodegradable,
no,
I must add, which is... absolute garbage. Well, it's technically garbage, but
it's weird that they went.
I just don't understand this day and age where how this is even possible. It bugs the shit out of me. But okay, so what these people are saying is the old Tim Hortons lid. We do not have one here.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they do.
No,
we don't.
So they have. So there's this thing about like them holding it in their teeth. Like you can't hold this one. You can't hold it in your teeth.
That's a thing?
Apparently. What are you doing? Like if you...
You're so busy.
You're so busy in your life, you need to like check your priorities. If this is like something to get like angry about. Like I do this and what am I doing? I'm driving. What do you need?
I haven't heard any of this stuff.
And
they obviously you looked into it.
No, I have not looked into that much, so I don't know the full story. But I saw this video where this guy had this hack where he like, I don't know, he cut into this or something and was able to like hold it in his teeth, which I really don't understand. If you understand what the holding, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. Have you ever had to hold your to-go coffee
never
in your
that.
Teeth? But apparently this is a thing. Like, people do. So maybe we're weirdos.
Well, the minority.
I actually emailed a customer complaint to Tim Hortons.
I know. You sent that to me.
Disposable lid. And they got back to me... but they had obviously just a blanket
statement. Dan's one of those people.
Just blanket statement about why the plastic lids.
They just answer like, okay, boomer.
Basically. Well, no.
Even though you're 37.
No, it'd be more like, okay, millennial. Because
well, yeah.
Being green and being, you know, worried about our climate crisis and stuff is you're apparently some kind of snowflake. Because I give a shit about Earth. Like,
well, yeah, that's a huge, that's, yeah. Well, when you're like, you know, in your 60s, 50s and 60s, you don't really, future, whatever, fuck the future. That's going to be this episode's called Fuck the Future.
Fuck the Future. No, but then...
No, but it's like, it's not like they have kids or anything.
No, or grandkids, or even great-grandkids.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's why I do...
You really want to go in this soapbox?
I do love the fact that, like, Jane Fonda, who's... in her 80s?
Easily not even a boomer.
Yeah.
Well, she's probably a really old, an old boomer.
Well, 80s, what would that make her? She'd born in what?
Anyway, I just hate the labels in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, she's older.
Yeah.
But she's given a shit about the climate crisis. Wow. And Harrison Ford's come out.
Well, those are Hollywood people, though. They don't count.
Yeah. But this is my argument about that kind of thing is like, who else is going to have a pedestal like Jane Fonda or Harrison Ford?
Well, right? Yeah, there's always this, like, this thing, there, like, you know.
Like,
there
shut
is,
up and just act?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, these people aren't actual human beings
yeah.
as well. And they also don't, like, you know, and they'll, but the thing about people don't really realize, I guess, is, like, these people have platforms that like, they, people, like, oh, you know, they just, they have the ability to like exactly. sway a chunk of people because they of their influence.
Celebrities should be using their influence to influence positive change.
Sure.
So yeah. when I do see a celebrity towards doing something towards a good cause, I'm all for that. And there's so many detractors that say, oh, just basically like, shut up, you're just a celebrity. Like, because you're a celebrity, you have no values or you have nothing to care about.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. It's all just... There's no thought process around it. So we're testing out this rig we have. It's a GoPro.
Strapped to a GH4.
And it's on super view mode, so I don't know if I'm in the shot or not. But
this is quite the object. I'm sure.
It's illegal.
It's legal.
Actually, we have crazy laws here in Canada for like fines for distracted driving, but also like especially like cell phones and stuff. I'm sure they're a little bit more lenient with the cameras and stuff. I don't know for sure though.
We're trying not to touch this camera.
Yeah.
Is probably okay.
But like in the States, I know there's places where it doesn't. They can still like talk on their phone.
Yeah.
Well,
there's one thing about talking on their phone. Like actually putting your phone to your ear and driving and talking is obviously you're distracted. But I think there's a little bit more to like it's really the texting and driving.
Oh yeah.
Like obviously reasons
you're looking at something.
Yeah.
That's not the road.
Yeah. But it's $999 starting January 1st or December 1st?
Is it going? Where's that thing? The quarter.
December 1st?
And we're also testing out these new like Sony audio recorders we got. And what is this all for, Dan?
This is for a movie idea that we've had. It's more of a mantra, more of like a style.
Have we talked about this much?
I don't know.
I think we might have mentioned it in a podcast.
It came like a bolt of lightning to my brain.
And it's weird because
around February of this year.
Can we just have a little caveat though to this whole thing? I'm actually a little bit nervous, and I don't know why, nervous about talking about it without actually like doing it. But I feel like you need to jump in. Like I feel like that's kind of like my problem a lot of the time is telling people, and it's kind of like putting that accountability out there.
Yeah.
Like we're trying this really kind of crazy way of like making a movie. And some would say like we did it a crazy way previously. Like we've never really made a movie properly, if anything. But no. We've always been one to like kind of like, and again, not saying that we do it like we knock it out of the park, but we're always trying to find ways to like just going against convention, I guess, and not necessarily like I was trying to say, I'm truly trying to say we don't necessarily do it because we think it's gonna be right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we just like trying things. Anyway, okay, go with the idea now. What's the concept around? Again, it is like a mantra. It's like a dogma. I hate saying that because it's so pretentious. But it's like a dogma 95 in a way. But
yeah, it's the idea is the dogma 95 was or is it still something?
I don't know if it's still a thing.
It's 25 years old. There's a set of rules that was started by like Lars von Trier and stuff.
That crew, I think.
Yeah. Back in the, 95. And you have to hit these rules, and there's stuff like no artificial sound or no artificial music.
Basically no artificial anything.
Yeah, and yeah, everything is like, everything's in real time. Not real time. Everything's, there's no flashbacks and stuff. Basically, it's like stripping the artifice out of cinema. With some, like, really good results. The biggest movie, I would think, was, like, The Celebration.
Yeah, I never saw it.
I never saw it, but I've seen, like, quite a bit of it, like, in scenes and clips and stuff, and it's phenomenal, like, what I've seen.
And, I mean, you were talking back in the day, too, there, that they were shooting on... Wait, could you shoot digital?
Yes. I think one of the rules that was sort of iffy, because Celebration was shot... I've seen an interview with the director, and it was shot with a one-chip DV camera. Remember the chips?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And
well, three. Like, so people think there's like a big difference.
So not even HD. Or sorry, not even. Yeah, not even HD.
Not even HD.
So probably shot like 640 or 720 or something.
Now they had that weird 720 by 480 0.9 pixel ratio, some nerdy thing.
So yeah, this and it, so it wasn't even back in the day. So. Back in the day, what was it? The XL1 was like kind of like the camera.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that. It was like...
Well, the XL1 could shoot 24, I think.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. Or, I don't know, actually.
But it was that... It was that... it was just like... It was literally just like a handy cam.
We're getting quite nerdy here.
Yeah. So, that being said, yeah, so ours is kind of taking that idea, kind of stripping out the artifice... But, like, trying to be... Like, we're not... We're trying to be as less pretentious as possible.
It's not, like, inspired by Dogma 95.
No.
It's more like... It's actually, like, a culmination of these things that came together that we kind of really thought about. But then it's like, hey, this actually is a lot like one of the, like a Dogma 95.
Yeah.
In its breakdown. Not necessarily, like, what the... Like, the things have to be about.
So, we've come up with... some general ideas, like for rules. Again, they're not like in stone yet.
No.
But
they're more for us. This is more for us than anything. We're not trying to make this thing like this thing where like people are like, oh, they're revolutionary. You know what I mean? They're revolutionizing the feature film industry.
No,
like,
no. This is just to make it more fun for us.
It's well, not fun. It's also a huge thing about just actually finishing it. Too. Like that, I see it as like a real like key to like actually finishing something in a long format too.
Yeah,
we've always been feature guys, and not necessarily like, oh, we've always been feature filmmakers. We joke when we talk a lot about, obviously we're very passionate about feature filmmaking and movies and stuff, and me and Dan talk all day basically about just things we need to do and what we want to do. And we have talked about, like, what we've done in the past and, like, have we really made that feature film for, like, no money? And I would say, like, The Wrong People, like, was so close to being, like, an actual movie.
Yeah.
And, like, I say that, like, with 100%, like, we're, like, our worst critics. Some people would say, like, oh, it ended up being a pretty good movie for whatever it was, like, $500. But I still feel like... There's lots that I would do to make it like a real movie, and I feel like that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I think but, I mean we've learned a lot since then.
I think the number one thing was just our audio. But yeah. Again, that's us trying stuff. We were like, you know, we in the past knowing how hard sound is to get. Especially with like nobody there, nobody to help out or whatever. And I don't say that like in a whiny way, like, oh, we know nobody to help. It's just like, there's times when we just didn't like, you know, we just decided to do it the sound that way where we had to redub it and stuff. And I don't know if that
was probably a bad choice.
Probably a bad choice. Sure. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, really rambling here.
So one of the ideas, one of the possible rules is basically just a tight outline.
Yeah, pretty tight outline. An outline, too, that we've really...
No script, basically. That's the idea. But not...
Some people have told me it should be like what I've heard people say in the industry is like a scriptment.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's times... there is lines. Like, there's stuff that we do have that, like, there's dialogue. But it's very few and far between. It's very much like... you know.
But there's also, with the outline, there's always something you can fall back on. Because, yeah. Like, I think a lot of people, or even me, like, have this idea that, like, oh, was this movie improv or whatever? It's like, yeah, it was. But it's like, there's still, like, a story there.
Yeah.
But you're not just, like, fishing around for the story.
It's more about improv of, like, the dialogue, I see.
You give the performers as much, like, information as you possibly can.
Yeah.
To...
Like, I actually say we have a pretty locked down story.
Yeah.
Probably one of the more locked down stories we've ever done.
So that's one of the rules. Basically, no final script. And what does that come from? I don't know. I think...
I don't see this thing as being like...
Again, for us, I think what has happened on Wrong People is we did have a script. Like a fully fleshed out script. And by the end, well, say halfway... We didn't deviate from the script, but the scenes that were written did what we wanted them to do, mm-hmm. But we just were never married to the, like, really when it comes down to it, a script is really just dialogue. Like, well, 70% of it's dialogue.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you really break it down.
So if the words are different, or
I feel like you're gonna get, you feel like people are gonna blast you for that, but whatever.
Well,
I think you're.
How do I redact that? I don't mean like.
It's not like it's
a lot,
just.
Say, how about this? But, a lot of a script is dialogue.
In what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're. I think,
yeah, because you could have, like, just one sentence that explains, like, a lot what's going on action-wise. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, like, the bulk of your script is dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's hard. I know what you're saying, but I don't know if others would get... But whatever. You'll eat it. Yeah,
but so there's moments in Wrong People where we had some improv, ish stuff.
Oh yeah,
that just had this like awesome energy that but difficult to kind of reproduce. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Orson Welles has this line where it's like the happy accidents, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was actually one of the big... It's funny because it's like this.
We should go through the things that kind of inspired
the timeline. So yeah, we had this new idea, just sort of hit us in like February. Then we were kind of getting into this, the Duplass brothers, mm-hmm. And I watched like Puffy Chair, and I mean that was scripted, but there's still this. This almost improv style to it, mm-hmm. Kind of more really about the production of it. It felt like a documentary,
yeah,
like a scripted documentary,
yeah,
which was I thought was phenomenal. Puffy Chair is great, was really good. It took me so long to watch it, but I was glad I finally did. And so there's the Duplass brothers, and then on Netflix they released. What was it called? The Orson Welles unfinished movie? Something on the Wind.
Yeah, it was just called like, the Wind movie.
Orson Welles' final movie. But he never finished it. But they with his notes and stuff, they finished it.
Yeah.
But they also released this documentary on the making of. And Orson Welles talks about these happy accidents. And he's like, yeah, I'm not... And I guess at the time it was pretty revolutionary. But he was talking to reporters and stuff in this behind the scenes. Talking about... there's going to be no script and stuff. And they're like, what? No script? Yep. You know, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to, like, get good actors together, all my friends and stuff. And then we're just going to, like, we're going to do this. We're going to make magic. Like, he was just so pumped about it.
Yeah. The whole idea.
Like, and this is also someone who's, like, completely jaded at this time in the whole Hollywood system and everything. So, I mean, he's Orson Welles. And he has some very talented friends.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the time, like, it was at the point of, like, you know, when he's doing those weird pee commercials. You know, like, what's that? Have you seen that?
I think it was a wine commercial or something?
No, there was a peas. There was, like, Peter, you know, some, like, Peter's peas. And there's a whole, like, the whole, I guess, the take of him saying the lines, and he's just like, what is this? It's just, it's so,
bullshit,
like? What is it? It's hilarious. But it's kind of like around that time when,
yeah.
Well, it's funny because people look at Orson Welles now and go, oh, it's Orson Welles, like Citizen Kane and stuff. But it's like, at the time, he was like, I would only guess, because I obviously wasn't around at the time, but I didn't know him. But he was a bit of a joke. Like, he had, like, a couple flops. Was it Touch of Evil was a flop? Like, they changed the ending, and the studio took it away from him and stuff?
Yeah, that was, like... I mean, basically, all his productions were, like, tumultuous. Like, they're all, like, had issues. He was basically...
I'm surprised you can't say that.
Tumultuous?
Because I can't, but, like, you're the writer.
I'm the writer. This is why I'm not a writer anymore. We're just doing outlines.
I can't say that word. But I know how it reads, like, you know.
But a lot of his productions were...
Troubled. It's an easier T word.
And he basically always looking for, like, well, always in the shadow of Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, he was, what, 20...
22 or
3 or something?
Yeah.
When he did Citizen Kane, and then, like, when he becomes, like, an old man... He's still, like, trying to, like, reach that. Like,
pinnacle
at 20. Like, that's gotta be, like, gotta mess with you.
Yeah, peaking early kind of thing.
Yeah. It still kind of, like, blows my mind that, like, he was able to make Citizen Kane at that age. Like, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, making that movie at any age is incredible. But, like, the kid's, like, just out of high school.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, we had this idea for doing this style, as a way to, like, kind of make more stuff, which is funny because we still haven't, like, made the first one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's definitely an experiment. Like, this might just, like, go horribly wrong.
Which
outline
is fun.
We have right now just really involves two actors.
Two brothers.
It's a very simple story.
It's exploring
some pretty dark themes.
Yeah.
But our goal is to infuse it with some comedy, to make it kind of this wheelhouse that didn't realize. Like, it's not on purpose, but sort of this kind of dark comedy realm. Dark themes, but kind of, like, funny things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like the fakeness of stuff is something we are trying to do to get rid of as well. You know, like, wrong people had, like, you know, people with guns and, you know, which is fine. It's always, like, you know, those are always stories that are fun to do as well. I'm not saying that, like, I regret this, you know, what we tried to do with it, but this one's like just like there's like no, it's just about real people, kind of in a weird way, kind of almost like a documentary, like you're saying. That's kind of like the way I feel, like the way we're gonna shoot it too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very like documentary style, like
just no into the camera, basically. That's the only...
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're not going to be addressing the camera.
No, it's going to be done, like, you know, as cinematic as we can, but also with a little bit of a, you know, with a, you know, more of like a handheld. I feel like that's kind of like, you know, if I'm going to have a style, shooting style, because I like when things are, like, not so perfect. It's funny. It's weird. Because, like, I bought it, like, we have, like, a gimbal... And I remember we did a quick little test in the summer with a scene. And I shot with the gimbal for, like, one scene. And it just wasn't equating to what I wanted to do. Like, it was too smooth.
Yeah.
It
was, like, artifice.
Yeah, it was very, like, and I couldn't move around. Like, I wanted, like to go to, like, you know, each character, kind of come back and forth. Like, you couldn't do it as quickly And it just looked... I don't know. It just doesn't look right. I don't know. It's weird. I think we're getting a little bit... I mean... This is completely like a controversial, not controversial, but it's going to be a weird thing to say as a filmmaker, but like, I feel like we get, like, I don't know if it's the YouTube culture now, like the, is everything has to be super slick and like, you know, everything's got to be as highest resolution as possible and all this. And it's all like, when it comes to like actual filmmaking, and I would argue even with like any kind of YouTube video, is like that stuff doesn't matter at all, you know? It just really, it just very little. I would say it does matter, but a very small amount, not like what people think, you know?
It's also like preference. Like I don't strive to make like those super smooth shots and stuff.
No,
I've just never had that desire.
But
that,
like, I feel like, you know, if you could tell us a cool story and still make it slick too, like, all you know, cool, awesome.
But things like when it comes to like camera, like when it comes to camera shots and stuff like that, we were always influenced and still am by, you know, like Sam Raimi's early work on Evil Dead, and like when you look at that stuff, it's a very like. It's there's not a smoothness to it. It's like what your actual the actual thing that you're responding to is kind of this rawness to it.
Yeah.
Like not that it's super smooth.
No.
It's like if you look at it, it's actually quite like jerky and grainy. But that stuff, like, I don't know, it has a life to it.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it is, right? It's just like a life. Like there's a certain sort of magic.
Yeah, and like you look at, I don't know, there's just the little things, like, I mean, this is going kind of look pretty meta, but like, or inside baseball, I guess. But like you look at like old film movies, you know, back in the day when everything was, it wasn't all super, you know, high end camera, digital gear and stuff. It's like you know, you see stuff like, I've always been drawn to things like the credits, opening credits on black, or even end credits, and it's got that little, just that slight like film gate shake. I love that stuff. I love it. I think it's just like it's super subtle.
I think it's because probably that's when.
Do you want something?
What you respond to is when, because we saw these movies, you know, in the late 80s, 90s, where they were all shot on film. So that's, I think, what you're kind of responding to is kind of in a strange way, like nostalgia for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's straight up because it's nostalgic. I don't know.
Cool.
But I don't know, I'm excited to like actually try this now. But I feel like it could go any way. I think you gotta really trust the people.
Yeah.
People you get.
Well, it's like live, it's like live action role playing.
Almost like a theater.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's what the first, like, our first idea. But we're also, the idea, too, is, like, to do them very quickly. And I don't know if that's probably not always going to be the case.
Shooting.
Yeah, the shooting.
Because we can sit with the footage as long as we want, really. Oh, better. Why the hell would you do this with a full smoking hot coffee?
I'd do it if it's like, I mean, right at the end.
Seriously? I would not, like.
Well, I mean, like, is it, I mean, I have like really crappy teeth, so I don't even think of just doing stuff like that.
I don't think it's anything like that. Like, who in their right mind would try to like bite this and hold it with a tooth? It's crazy.
Eating pie at the same time, but good. Because that's visual. You remember the Thong Song episode?
Yes.
Shout out to Forrest Stevens. He said he never heard the Thong Song.
What? Well, he's a young guy, right?
Well, I guess he's super young. Yeah, way younger. I guess everybody's younger than us. check out Forrest's channel. He does van stuff. He actually bought like a...
Yes, I just saw that.
It's cool. I guess different media. Different media on YouTube.
Different media, period.
Oh.
Like there's a period in it. Not that, I don't think that matters, but... Yeah, I don't know. The van life is kind of like, it's totally up my alley. If I didn't have kids, I'd probably do van life. Well, if I was single. Single with no kids, I'd do van
life. Why can't you add that?
Single with no kids?
Well, no, you say just no kids, and it's like, well, you also have a wife. That wouldn't be in the picture as well.
Well,
well, it'd be a different wife, I guess.
Well, whatever, which one would be into van life?
Yeah. Not the one you have.
There's something kind of like, there is that, there is a certain kind of, what am I trying to say? Sort of, I guess, lack of responsibility when it comes to, not lack of responsibility, but, it's nice.
Like the freedom.
The freedom of...
Freedom!
Of van life. The freedom of the idea of living in a van or a bus or something and just not having, you know, necessarily be locked down with like a 9-to-5. You know, you could live with less. Which is kind of like my goal. My sort of midlife crisis. How do you live with less so you don't have to work so much? How is that? Spicy, what is it? Spicy sausage?
Well, it's weird.
What's your review like?
It's good. But I get a lot of, like, I do eat the regular sausage.
Yeah.
Somebody know, fan.
Is that a fan? Was that Anna?
Yeah. But that sausage sandwich with the spicy... What did you say it was called? Spicy sausage?
What is it out of 5?
Hey, it's like a 3.5. 4. But I'm a simple man. And we'll see you in the next Nimpod.